Just a couple things I'm going to share. It's going to be short. I know it's kind of warm in here, but we don't care, right? We're ministering to the Lord, and He's ministering back to us. It's so awesome. So I don't know how much everybody got out of the series by Bill Johnson, but the last thing that he talked about was longevity and the four things that brings us, you know, it's not about just keeping an emotional hype up, but it's the longevity of things in our life that we just need to be stable in Christ and know who we are in Christ. And so he was talking about that scripture, and I'm going to read it in Acts 40, and I just want to go over one of those things that he mentioned, because I just felt like today we should take communion. And how many know it's, I just hate when things become tradition and they lose its true meaning. You know, where we don't really connect because we're just doing something that, well, we've done this kind of thing, you know. But that we would truly connect with Holy Spirit even in our communion, you know, the coming together and of one another in unity in Christ, and knowing and not forgetting what He's done for us. And I think that's real important, because we can kind of go on life and just not, you know, we just forget the price He paid. We did an evangelistic training yesterday, and it was really good, actually. And it, you know, we need to keep those that are lost before us, because there's a lot of lost sons and daughters out there that they don't even know what they're looking for, and they need to just come home to the Father, right? So anyway, the training was really good, and not to be so Christianese, religious, just have a conversation, just connect with people. You know, that's how we should do it. That's how Jesus did it. And, you know, it's not about a formula or a method. I think we get caught up in all that. And what we do with our traditions, we end up building little structures around them, and then they become a religious structure and that we follow, and then it loses its life. And that's not how God intended us to live. We live in a vibrant, abundant life of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to open with the scripture that Bill Johnson used, and it's in Acts 2, verse 40-47, and it says this: "With many words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day." Pretty incredible, right? "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." You notice the four things that kept them steadfast in this? Because what Bill Johnson was talking about, okay, so you see this happen, the revival fire came, the Pentecost came, but within 5 years, they were still continuing to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and teaching, to fellowship and breaking of bread and to prayer. That's what kept that together. Because how many of you know people, you've seen movements of God start, but they just fizzle out? And why is that? Why should that be? Why should that be? You know, I just, you know, it kind of bothers me, because I don't believe God wants that. But I think as soon as we make it a religious thing, a structure thing, and we don't continue in some things, we lose the meaning and the emphasis and the why of why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we called? Why are we, you know, in this co-partnership with God? So to continue, it says in 43, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to another who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, isn't that some awesome? We have that. We have that. Amen? That we can break bread together, we can come together with glad and sincere hearts and praise God and enjoy the favor of God and enjoy each other. That's the way God wanted us. The Lord gave us this access to longevity. It doesn't have to fizzle out. We can live in the longevity. It's not just that we maintain, but it's actually for increase in our life. You know, and I love how Bill Johnson said how he loves to see people who love who they are. That was a big point because I think a lot of us religiously thought we are just these terrible sinners. And even as we got saved, we're still sinners saved by grace. But no, we're saints of God. And I think our identity, when we know our identity, it's a joyful identity. It isn't something sorrowful. It's not something condemning. It's not something that, you know, oh, I got to strive to be. Come on. You know, it's about accepting the sonship of who we are, the sonship that we have with the Father. And so we can be comfortable in our own skin because we were wonderfully, fearfully created in God. You know, we don't have to compare ourselves with anybody. You know, I feel, you know, like I think some of the church, you know, some of us can have maybe you've heard the saying, or an orphan spirit. And what is an orphan spirit? You know, it's someone that lacks emotional identity, seeks to earn their identity through their own efforts. Okay, it's someone that might always feel alone, that they don't have a safe place, they're not secure in the Father's heart where he can affirm them and protect them and express his love. They feel like they don't belong. Come on, right? They're full of fear, anxiety, insecurity. You know, and some have like an independent spirit that often causes them to hide or deny their pain. We just hide away, we shrink back, we enter into shame. We don't come into that full identity. It's the orphan spirit's always concerned about provision and protection. Come on. In Christ, we lack nothing, nothing. You know, and this worry causes us to, you know, orphan spirit to often operate or in your own abilities apart from God, when we're supposed to co-partner with God and trust God. And a person that operates out of that, it's usually harbors like abandonment, loneliness, annihilation, isolation. That's why I always get concerned when someone starts to isolate themselves. Because we are made to be a body. We're not to be lone rangers. There's a reason why God sets us in body, a body of believers, wherever we are. We're a group here, but there's many of us out there that we are the body of Christ, the family of God, that we are joining hands all over the world. So we're never alone, but God, you know, puts us in certain bodies so that there's something that we give and there's something that we get that is needed. So he wants to have us come together and understand that we are sons of God. And many times as orphans, we, you know, there's an inability to receive love. And God, you know, he doesn't want us to perform to get anything. And we don't have to strive to be number one. Like we have to strive to get God's attention. Come on, really? No. So the orphan spirit sometimes causes us to have this inner competition with others. Comparison with one another. I think that can happen really easily because the enemy comes with such lies and tries us to have his focus on somebody's strength and our weaknesses. and then we compare ourselves. But the fact is, you have strengths that are needed in the body of Christ. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. That's why we need each other with the Lord, right? To do these things. We need each other. We all have different strengths. And God created the body of Christ. So he's given us everything we need. Sometimes the orphan spirit gains identity from trying to be or from being better than anybody else. You know, when we see people that are very gifted, it shouldn't make us feel less than. It should make us feel like, wow, inspired by that gift. You know, and not jealous of that gift. And not, you know, comparing ourselves, well, they can do that, but I can't. No, we can't do that. It's a trick of the enemy to have us accept an orphan spirit, like God didn't give me enough to live out my life in abundance and in fullness. And comparison causes people to shut down because they say, well, I can't do it like that person, so I'm just going to not do it. Don't you think that is a trick of the enemy from trying to keep you to be everything God created you to be? And so we get into this, like, shutdown because we just can't do it like somebody else. You know, and we need to understand when that spirit comes up and tries to tempt us to believe that lie, that we just shut that down right away. Recognize that for what it is. It's an orphan spirit trying to tell me I'm not a son or daughter, that I am lacking in something when I'm not. I have everything in Christ that I ever need. Amen? And so, you know, it's this orphan spirit gets to, like, self-protecting. And it gets self-preservation, you know, where you get obsessed about protecting everything that you have and you're afraid of losing something, you know. And sometimes an orphan spirit looks for someone in authority to give them a sense of identity. And the only person we should get our identity is from Christ, from the Lord. I mean, everybody has clay feet. There's nobody that we want more than to have an identity of who we really are in Christ. That we don't have to be addicted to work or have an entitlement spirit, or we're never at peace, never feeling secure. We're always striving. We're always, you know, trying to please somebody to gain acceptance. This is not what God wants for our life. He wants you to be secure in the sonship of who he wants you to be in him. So it's about getting rid of or recognizing the enemy's lies and things like jealousy and coveting and unworthiness. These are all things of an orphan spirit. And so we need to recognize what it is when we feel that coming. Like sometimes when I go through something and I feel the testing of my identity. I don't know if you get that, but it's just like there's a time where something might be coming against me, and I feel like a little bit of a victim, and I stop right there and said, you know what? I am not a victim to this. I don't have an orphan spirit. I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. So what do I fear? For if God is for me, who can be against me? But it's amazing how we accept things so easily. We take on those vain imaginations that we should be taking captive, our thoughts, and nip them in the bud before they have you, you know, isolate and just shrink down. I mean, that's what the enemy does. He wants you not effective and just shut down. But I don't like to really talk about him much. I like to talk about what the Lord has done for us, that he's given us this amazing identity in him, that we are strong and we are powerful in God. We don't realize how powerful we really are. We just allow the enemy to tell us lies, but we have Christ in us. The kingdom of God is within us. His power, his reign, his rule is in us. So it's like, what are we lacking? We have this great good news. This great good news is that we are the sons of God. You know, I don't need a title. I don't need a position to tell me I'm worthy or that I mean something. That has nothing to do with it. It's who I am in Christ, who God says I am, right? And we need to remember what God says who we are. That it's so important. So I felt like we just need to take communion today as one of the things that Bill Johnson was talking about was breaking bread with one another, because we share in this unity in Christ, and there's something you have to share and there's something that you need to receive, right, as we meet together. But let me just read this scripture about being a son. In Galatians 4, 5 through 7, it says, "Yet all of this was so that he could redeem and set free those who were held hostage to the law, so that we would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as his children. And so that we would know that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, 'My Father, my true Father.' Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. Because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs because of what God has done." Come on, isn't that enough to rejoice in right there? I mean, I don't know. I think we need to get excited about some of these things, because it's truth that should resonate in our spirit and encourage ourselves in the Lord in these things. We need to embrace the Father's love and the acceptance. We're not orphans. We have not received the spirit of adoption. We have received the spirit of adoption, and we cry out, "Abba, Father," as Scripture says. God the Father's love protects and sustains us. So we should reject the spirit of rejection. Has anybody ever felt rejected? You know how that feels, right? But we reject that spirit of rejection when we start feeling like a victim, like God doesn't care, God doesn't see, God doesn't want to do anything for me. Come on. We need to recognize these things and say no. You know, we had prayer, and Angie and I were praying about something. It was about healing, and it was just like, how often do we accept things just because we feel we can't do anything, but then are we really leaning on the Lord to do the things that we can't? And it's just like we accept things so easily. And it's just like God wants to know who you are and what you have, the inheritance you have, that you have healing. That is your inheritance, deliverance, and healing is what? The children's bread. Someone said to me, "Oh, well, I feel like I need deliverance, but yet I'm a Christian." I says, "Well, what does the word say? Healing and deliverance is the children's bread. He wants to deliver you from false belief of things you are accepting as truth for your life. That sickness is part of your life. That you have to be addicted to things. You know, that you can't really truly be free. That you can't freely enjoy and be joyful in your true identity." I mean, I think we need to enjoy who we are joyfully and understand who we are and enjoy ourselves as Christ delights in us. We should delight in ourselves. But that religious spirit comes in and said, "Oh, well, that would be pride." Ugh. And it's not. God wants us to be delighted in how he's made us and who we are. We need to embrace the Father's love and acceptance. We need to resist that orphan spirit. We need to identify the temptation that gets you feeling like an orphan. We don't compete for the Father's love. We have to separate ourselves from the devil's lies, right? And I think about the parable in Luke where it talks about the prodigal son. You know, there's something the Lord is just really revealing to me lately, is that we've been always sons and daughters. You didn't just become a son and daughter in Christ. You were always a son and daughter, but you were lost. Because, you know, in the beginning of creation, when he created you in his image. You're a son and a daughter, always. It's just that we had gotten lost. And he sent Jesus to return us back to the Father. Come on. We weren't, you know, I mean, help me try to say this because maybe some people won't quite get it, but it's just like we just see ourselves so wretched and wicked when God said, I created you, and he said, and it is good. But we received a religious type of indoctrination of us being just evil. We're not, we're lost, but we're still a son and daughter. And you look at the example of the prodigal son. What was that, Angie? Say it. Amen. Right. Exactly. And because of the elder son didn't understand his identity. But one thing I love about that whole thing is that the father waited for the son all the time. He saw him from afar off and then he ran to him. Such love and such relentless love. And what he did, he didn't blast him with punishment. He gave him a ring and he gave him a robe and he killed the fatted calf. My gosh. What kind of love is that? What we've known is punishment. Punishment for everything we've done wrong. But we don't understand the finished work of the cross where we have become, we are the son and daughter, the returned son and daughter of the Lord. So in Ephesians 1, 3 through 11. Let me just read this. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us. He chose us. He chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. We are innocent. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. That's what I was seeing this morning. I was seeing this as we were worshiping. I just felt like this waterfall, cascading waterfall coming over us as his love was just, his grace was being poured out upon us. For the same love he has love for the beloved, Jesus, he has for us. That's pretty incredible. Think about that. Do you need anything? Are you lacking anything? He loves you. The Father loves you like he loves the Son, Jesus. And this is unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Do you know you can bring pleasure to the Lord? And since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of all our sins, all of because of the cascading riches of his grace. The superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us. Come on, it's in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us. Wow. The hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages, finally reaching its climax when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union, we are one with the Lord. We are together with the Lord. We are one union with the Lord. There's a oneness in Christ we have not been getting. We are one with God. We are inseparable with Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were ever born, he gave us destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. He always accomplishes every purpose. As we draw near to him, the word says, he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We are a true son of God, and we enter into that goodness of God and the fiery passion of intimacy with Abba. And this is why the early church prioritized these things that we were talking about, the doctrine of the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, exchanging life with others, breaking of bread, and prayer. Those four things, if they're things that they're I'm going to say the cornerstones, but things that are important in the life of a believer. And so we're going to do the breaking of the bread this morning. I just feel like we can't, please don't look at it. It's all, this is just, you know, like a traditional thing that we do. I want to do something a little bit different with this. Breaking bread is to stay connected to what got to where I am because of the cross, because of the blood, right? And the price that was paid so that I could be both redeemed and to be redemptive in my lifestyle. We can look at whatever is going on in the world and say, but God can restore that. God can redeem that. Instead of looking how bad it is, but God can redeem that. Is our God not a great redeemer? Right? And so, as sons and daughters, we need to know that we're called to bring the good news and of the saving, redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And I think when we go out and minister, I think that people need hope. People need hope. People need to know that there is a way that can give them hope and give them peace and give them joy. We carry that within us because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. So if we're carrying the kingdom of God within us, we get to freely give, but freely give away, and we need to do that. We need to be released to give that to this world that is without hope. So I just felt to do a little something different. Can we all stand? And why don't we come up here for a sec? I want you to take one of these. You maybe hand it out? Yeah. Yeah, just come on, stand up over here. Jim coming down? No? We'll bring one up to you. So I just felt, you know, I really was inspired by something Bill Johnson said. When we come together and we're breaking bread, I want you to give a piece to somebody and share something about yourself. If it's a testimony, or if it's something like you feel a prophecy over this person, something that the Lord, we'll just spend a few minutes and just kind of pray. But I want you just to say, I'm going to give you part of me, and then you're going to respond, I'll give you part of me, and share something about each other, pray for each other, or prophesy to one another. You need something? Oh, okay. All right. So, okay. All right. Just come around. We'll just be like a circle. Come on, we're all family. Come on. Let's not be. All right. So, I'm getting like Kristen yesterday, right? Okay. All right. Do you know what I'm saying? It says, okay, so I want you to feel led of the Lord to go to somebody and break off the bread and give it to them. Let them receive it. And then tell them about something about yourself. Prophesy or pray for them. Or just bless them. Okay? We're being activated, okay, right? So we're going to pray. So, Lord, we just thank you right now that, Lord, that we get to share in breaking bread with one another because of what the Lord, what you have done, Lord. We thank you that we can come together as believers and just encourage one another. Because of the broken bread, we recognize it was your body that was broken, that we have come into this beautiful union of a family. And so, Lord, we just thank you. So, Father, just fill our thoughts to encourage one another this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.